The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 17, verses 20 to 30. Once, on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." Then he said to his disciples, "The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. People will tell you, 'There he is,' or 'Here he is.' Do not go running off after them. For the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning, which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. Amen." On April 29th, a fire broke out from a construction site of a new logistics center in Icheon, Gyeonggi-do, with a sudden massive explosion, emitting black smoke and blaze that covered the entire building. The fire caused 38 deaths. Such big accidents always include unfortunate stories. A wife lost her husband after a mere 1 month of getting married. And another woman lost both her husband and her younger brother. One man lost his life, leaving two elementary sons behind. One father left for work after cooking birthday seaweed soup for his daughter in the morning. And her thank you call he received from his daughter became the everlast conversation he had with her. One high school girl was living with her father alone after losing her mother 4 years ago, and she is now completely orphaned. There are more heartbreaking stories. Also, there was an accident last April in which a woman in her 40s was driving, making a turn from a curve inside an apartment complex in Cheongup, Jeonbuk Province, and hit a bicycle that was coming from the opposite side. An 8-year-old boy was riding on the bicycle. He was her own son. The boy was severely injured in the head and was taken to the hospital, but eventually lost his life. On January 17th, an avalanche occurred while a team of overseas education volunteers from education office in Chungnam was trekking on Annapurna in Nepal. 4 teachers, including a local Nepalese guide, went missing due to the accident. There was no way to find them as more than 10 meters of snow had covered the area. On April 25th, 3 months after the accident, 2 bodies were found. Another one was found on April 27th, and the body of the last teacher was retrieved on May 1st. Also in February, a civil servant in his 40s passed away in his room after a late return home due to a heavy workload. Another civil servant from Seongju-gun died during work in March due to fatigue accumulated from continuous emergency duties since the outbreak of COVID-19. Not only that, some people have been murdered in some incidents. In late April, the police arrested a man in his 40s under charge of murder. His ex-wife made a report to the police that their son hasn't been participating in his online lessons. The police searched the man's house in Dongjak-gu and found the bodies of the man's mother in her 70s and his teenage son inside a wardrobe. Around January, he accidentally murdered his mother after fighting with her over money. Later, he strangled his son who was asleep, thinking that his son will have a hard time living alone without him. The man was released from prison late last year after serving his terms for committing violent crime. Yet again, he committed another crime, this time of killing his own family. The five types of death that I have told you just now are all different in forms. They lost their lives through a fire, a car accident, a natural disaster, from fatigue, and from murder. But what all these deaths had in common was that they all were not expected. No one would have even imagined that it would be their last day ever at work while heading to work on the day of fire. The woman would have never even dreamt that driving inside the apartment complex would be the last of her son. Who would have thought that their bodies will be found months later as corpses while a happy trekking on the Himalayas? And for the civil servants who did not mind heavy workloads to prevent the spreading of COVID-19, they would have least expected that that day was the last day of going to work to handle their works. Also, although she may have fought with her son over financial issues, the mother would have never imagined that her son will commit such an immoral crime. The son also would have never for a second thought that his father would strangle him in his sleep. What most of us usually expect about the moment of our last breath is to be surrounded by our children and their children, bid farewell to each and every one of them, and breathe our last breath. Not to mention that all that happens after living a long enough life. Such an end to a life is called 고종명, one of the five blessings in Confucianism. However, very few people are able to have such an ending to their life. A person can never make plans when it comes to death. The time and method can only be decided by God. One can die through an unexpected accident or incident. A man who has confidence over his health may lose his life from a sudden heart attack or stroke. Someone who has never been hospitalized before may never be able to make it back home after being hospitalized for the first time. Jesus tells us in today's passage that the apocalyptic kingdom of God will come unexpectedly, just as each and everyone's end can come without a warning. People at the time of Jesus thought that the kingdom of God was a visible country and expected a physical country on this land. To be more specific, they expected a country as strong as one that David had once ruled. No, even a more powerful one. They have been fretfully waiting to be set free, especially because they were under the rule of the Roman Empire. They thought that the day they are set free from the Roman rule will be their first step to the kingdom of God. So the Pharisees came before Jesus and asked, "When will the kingdom of God arrive?" But Jesus said that the kingdom of God which they have in mind is wrong, and that it is in your midst. We have talked about this last week. In your midst can mean within you and among you. I explained that this means that the kingdom of God must be set in each and everyone's mind and also between people and people. There is another meaning here. The kingdom of God in the Bible is more shown as a concept of governing or ruling rather than a place. If a father or a mother tries to run everything and tries to pursue his or her wills only in a family, then that family becomes a father's kingdom or mother's kingdom. Also, if children are set as the best value and everything works around the children, then that family becomes the children's kingdom. The reason why a church is often referred to as a mock-up of the kingdom of God is because the church puts best value upon God and his words and obeys to his wills. If a church is fiddled by a particular person or a small number of people, then that church becomes their kingdom, an empire of their own. God's place is called the kingdom of God in English. A kingdom is a territory governed by a king or queen. On the surface, it refers to the insides of the boundary of a place. But in real, it refers to the insides of the boundary of where a king or queen's authority can reach. Thus, as in the lyrics of hymn number 438, where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. Where Jesus is, will be governed by the Lord. When the Pharisees asked about when will God's kingdom arrive, Jesus answered that it is in your midst. This meant that they should not obsess over a particular date, acknowledge the ruling of God in this life, and to obey to God's will. But the Pharisees did not get a grasp of Jesus' true intentions. Verse 22 tells us as follows. Then he said to his disciples, "The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it." From here on, Jesus told the disciples about the days of the Son of Man, the apocalyptic kingdom of God. It seems that the Pharisees have returned after not being able to hear what they wanted to from Jesus. The reason why the Pharisees asked Jesus about the kingdom of God and its time of arrival was not because they had deep faith. In other words, they did not ask the question because they thought, if Jesus is really the Messiah, shouldn't I give myself to him? It was just to find out who Jesus was and pick on and condemn him. It is very important to question in life and in the life of faith. It is because what I ask stipulates the answer I will seek. So the depth and extent of a question decides the depth and extent of its answer. And the sincerity of a question brings the sincerity in its answer. There was a theologian named Oscar Coleman who was born in Strasbourg, France. Strasbourg is the capital of the region Alsace-Lorraine, which was the background setting of Alphonse Daudet's The Last Lesson. When Oscar Coleman was born, Strasbourg was a German territory. Coleman clearly and simply put together God's kingdom. Already, not yet. The first thing Jesus said when starting his public life was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." That time, God's kingdom had already started, but it was not yet completed. So right now, the kingdom of God is in the process of being completed between already and not yet. We do not know of when that kingdom of God will be completed. Jesus tells us of the day and time as follows in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. "But about that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Only Father God knows of the day and hour. In other words, he is telling us that we should not know about the day and time. In English, "only God knows" and "nobody knows" means the same thing. That is how it is with the completed kingdom of God. So, from verses 22 to 37, Jesus talks about the kingdom of God that is to be completed, the days or time of the Son of Man, which is the kingdom of God in future. But the time is not about a particular time or an exact date, but about the things that will happen when the kingdom of God arrives. And those things are what happen in our life. Jesus explained about few of the phenomena that will happen before the apocalyptic kingdom of God arrives. Verse 23 tells us as follows. People will tell you, "There he is," or "Here he is." Do not go running off after them. He explains that more and more people will claim to be the Christ as the apocalypse nears. Looking back to the 2,000 years of history of church, such antichrists surged just before a new century or a new millennium started. In Korea, Tommy Missionary Church argued on eschatology that Jesus will be returning on October 28th of 1992. The church also claimed that those who believe will be lifted on the day, and those who are not lifted will go through great hardship for 7 years. Broadcasting companies reported live on the Dami Missionary Church, situated in Seongsan-dong, Mapo-gu, on the set day. The lifting event eventually ended up as an absurd incident. And not even after a week, Tommy Missionary Church announced dissolution of itself. It is cult to deny Jesus Christ who came to this earth in complete human form 2,000 years ago. And it is also cult to deny that Jesus Christ becoming the perfect God. It is also cult for a human religious leader to pose as the Christ, the Holy Spirit, or God. And it's also cult to deify the words of the religious leader other than the Bible, and grant the authority of the Bible. Of course, denying the Bible, which are the words of God, or partially adopting the Bible, is also considered cult. Christians often misunderstand about the concept of cult or idan in Korean. Just because the Chinese characters used for the word idan use different and end in meaning, people think that it means cults are what start off similar but end up different. That is not what idan means. Idan, or cult, is different from the start and is wrong from the start. Let's assume a person is being named Maldan, low level or bottom in meaning, for a lifetime at work. Would you think that that person is called low level because he or she failed to be promoted as a director while I did, when we both started off joining the company at the same time and were promoted at the same time until we each became a head of the department? No. Those who fail to be promoted at all times while other people that joined the company at the same time all receive promotion are called low level. Also, a device that is connected to a main computer via a network to input data or output process results is called a terminal or tammalgi. The device becomes a terminal because it is far away from the main computer. Just as such, idan or cult is not something that starts off from the same root and then separates its way from the legitimate religion later. The cult was always separate. And the Chinese character for tan, which we know its meaning to be end, also contains the meaning of upright or straight. So, it's also used in words like tanjeong, meaning neat, and tana, meaning refined. Thus, the word idan means not straight, crooked, or something wrong in the first place. It just pretends to be not wrong. What is common about antichrists, cults, and pseudo-religions is that the leaders deify themselves so that their followers focus on them. So, the leaders make their followers put their pictures up on the walls at home, carry their pictures in the followers' wallet, and keep a copy of the videos of the leaders in the followers' smartphones. Even if a church may belong to a proper and legitimate religious order, if the pastor makes the followers to focus on the pastor himself instead of on the Christ, then that church is in grave danger spiritually. It is easy to get lost in path spiritually if you pursue your life of faith in such a church. Jesus speaks of this phenomenon of apocalypse in verse 24 as follows. For the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning, which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. Just as everyone in the visible range of a lightning can see when a lightning flashes on a rainy day, on the day he returns, the Lord will come to us in a way which he will be visible to everyone, because he transcends time and space. Also, when the Lord came to earth for the first time, he came as the Lord of survey. But the Lord who returns will come as the Lord of judgment. Jesus will not come down to earth through a woman's body ever again. This is why all those who call themselves messiahs or Jesus are fake. They were born through a woman's womb on this earth. They are not visible to everyone, nor are they the Lord of judgment. Verses 26 to 30 testify as follows on the day of the Lord's return. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. Jesus said that the days of his return will be like the days of Noah and Lot. We will go over this part in detail next week. In the days of Noah, God judged with water, and in the days of Lot, with fire. What these two judgments had in common was that it all happened unexpectedly. Let's say that it rained during the days of Noah. The precipitation of the first day of rain was about 1 millimeter. 2 millimeters on the second day. 3 millimeters on third day. And 8 millimeters on fourth day. If it kept on raining as such continuously for 10 days, it'd be just over 1 meter. But if it rained for 40 days, then it would have exceeded over 1 million kilometers. If it had rained that way, maybe people have listened to Noah. But it didn't rain that way in the days of Noah. What's more, it never rained before. And then the earth burst and the floodgates of the heavens opened, and rain fell for 40 days restlessly. It actually poured down as if water fell from the Niagara Falls or the Iguazu Falls. So the entire world was flooded. It was the same on the days of Lot as well. The fire, the size of a firefly falling from the sky on the first day. The size of the light of a cigarette on the second day. The size of a candle flame on the third day. No, this wasn't the way things happened. Fire and sulfur rained down from heaven like monsoon rain in a brink of moments. These can be considered the antitype for a universal apocalypse. The return of the Lord will arrive in the least expected time as well. No one knows when the Lord will return. So, even if a person may have been through so many mysterious experiences, if he or she mentions a date of the Lord's return, it's wrong and the person is fraud. What is important to us is that we have the end of us individuals before the return of the Lord, the universal apocalypse. And the time and method of it is entirely up to God, just like those people I have given examples of in the beginning. That is why we need to focus humbly on the days of our end, on eternity, every day as we live on this earth. Then what should we do to look towards the eternal life and eternal kingdom of God while living on this earth? Should we leave our homes, cut away from our families and friends, go deep into a forest or on a lonely island, and cry out, "Lord, Jesus, please come," at the top of our lungs? No. That is exactly what people who believe in the wrong apocalypse theory do. I used to go bowling once in a while attending graduate school of theology. I would also go bowling occasionally, together with other ministry members, sharing fees for the bowling while on ministry at church. At first, I bowled my ball into the gutters that are on the sides of a bowling lane numerous times. Later, I was able to bowl with an average score of 160 to 170, which was enough not to be a nuisance to my teammates. I am left-handed. As a kid, I was not allowed to use my left hand, so I use my right hand when writing or eating. I'm used to using my right hand at various things, but for some things, it's more convenient to use my left hand. I mainly use my left hand when I play sports. In a bowling ball, there are three holes to insert your thumb, index finger, and ring finger. But the balls at the bowling alleys all have holes for right-handed people. It feels slightly awkward if you put in your left-hand fingers. What's more, my hands aren't that big, but I have pretty thick fingers, so it's not easy to find a ball that fits my fingers at a bowling alley. So I use the heaviest ball most of the times. That would always strain my arm. And then one day, I bought a bowling ball. I also adjusted the holes to my fingers. In other words, I made the holes bigger and inserted rubber in them. My fingers and my arm felt less strained, and that enabled me to score 10 points or more than usual. But there was a time when my scores went higher than when I bought my own bowling ball. That was when I learned how to bowl according to the spots in front of the lane. At first, I bowled looking at the bowling pins at the end of the lane. The ball would mostly fall into the gutter back then. And then, when I started bowling looking at the spot in front of the lane, I rarely bowled it to the gutter. The spots are in the form of pyramid-shaped seven dots. When you first bowl a few times at a bowling alley, you will learn how the ball rolls on the lane and how much it rotates. From then on, you bowl so that the ball passes through an adequate spot and not looking at the bowling pins. When you bowl on your first turn but don't get to strike out all the pins and have to bowl again to knock off the spares, you look at the spot and bowl all the same. It doesn't matter if someone puts a screen before the bowling pins so that you can't see them. As long as you bowl, looking at the spot, then you are sure that the ball will roll to the expected spot. The kingdom of God is not visible in our eyes. Instead, God gave us God's words that are visible. God's words will be the spots of truth in the paths of our lives. But if we ignore the spots of these words, we will one day find ourselves wandering in mud, living a life that has nothing to do with God at all. Whether we are conscious or not, and whether we live to acknowledge it or not, the time for us to breathe our last breath is slowly nearing. One day, all of a sudden, we will also breathe our last breath on this earth. In that sense, it would be more suitable to say that we are dying day by day instead of living day by day. To turn our lives that we do not know the end of into God's kingdom and to live in the most valuable way on this earth is to obey to the words of God that are the spots of eternal truth. A person who makes God his or her strength and lives according to the words of God is a person who lives the most valuable and regretless life, even though it looks like he or she is living a fool's life in this world full of all sorts of values, and moving at the slowest pace in this modern world where everything moves fast. When the time comes for that person to stand before God, it will become clear that he or she has walked from the most righteous and faithful path. A person who ran through the shortcut of life that God has wanted. Let us pray. Father God, we all wish to end our lives on this earth before our families and friends after living a long enough life. If you will allow us, please grant such grace be upon us. If we are to end our lives unexpectedly, may our lives be that of unregretful ones and not be shameful to face the Lord. If there isn't much time left before breathing our last breaths, may we be more mature than ever and resemble the Lord more than ever. And if we have many days left to live on, may today be the day that we are least mature in faith and resemble God the least than ever. However many days we have left in this life, may we make God's words our spot of life to become more like the Lord, and let us never forget that God is our strength. Father God, please add strength when fear finds us, when we try to walk the path of truth, and encourage us, yes, you are going the right way, where we think and grudge over what we are to lose. When we try to follow our selfishness and desires, stab our souls through the gospel and let us look back. Let us live in the kingdom of God under the guidance of God, even in our lives here on earth, and live forever in the kingdom of God, under the ruling of God, even after our last breath on this earth. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.